grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from Christ Jesus, our Savior and King. A sermon this morning is taken from our gospel reading of Mark chapter 9 with these words. He was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. This is the word of our Lord. Well, I could not help but notice, especially as we heard those words from St. Mark and as we see on the cover of our bulletins, this very powerful moment. Of course, it is captured upon our very altar every day, but to see it here in color right before us, labeled by the Son of Man, we see here a moment for all our Christian churches on earth to look and reflect. For there you see Jesus wearing his crown of thorns, blood upon his arms, and he is nailed to the tree. It is in this moment that Jesus is about to be lifted up for all eyes of the world to look upon him. And as you and I think about this day, we know that this is such a moment that is terribly emotional for those that understand the powerful impact that this divine act had upon all mankind. Of course, the disciples lived it, and many ran from this moment, right? Mary, Jesus' mother, was there, and Mary Magdalene and John. But many hid their eyes from this due to sadness and despair. And in this moment, we reflect upon the effect that this very gospel statement has on the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ as they followed him for 3 years every day, day in and day out, listening to Jesus as their teacher and their rabbi, the one whom they loved very much, and in fact, Jesus, who loved them as their divine God. But with this picture you see here on the cover of your bulletins, you see this act of God and how much love is displayed here. And so it is, I point out to you, this very purpose and plan in God's mind that his Son would enter into the world, be born to live among us. And so I tell you that so that you understand that Jesus' crucifixion adds an even deeper meaning to the upcoming Christmas season. No, I'm not trying to get ahead of myself like here we are at the end of September. But in fact, Jesus is prophesying this in our gospel reading. And why is he doing that? He's preparing his disciples for what lies ahead. He must teach them. Now, for you and I who are on the Holy Christian Church today, we know we're just half a year away from the season of Lent. But we can already see how our Lord must lay the groundwork for Good Friday, that his disciples may even begin to understand, because here in this Mark chapter 9 gospel reading, the disciples have no clue. I suppose, to be fair to the 12, the cultural norms of the time, the expectations that the Jews had for the Messiah was that he would rescue them. He would deliver the Jews from the clutches of the Roman Empire, reminiscent of how the Hebrews just 1,500 years before were being saved by the hand of God through Moses, delivered from Pharaoh in Egypt. And this is precisely what Jesus, our Messiah, does, but for the sake of his heavenly kingdom, not for any earthly kingdom. And I suppose also, to be fair to the 12 disciples, the mysterious will of the Lord is much easier for us to understand now that you and I have both the Old Testament and the New Testament of the Holy Scriptures working together to paint for us the tapestry of prophecy and fulfillment all through the life of Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, from the moment of Genesis to the end in Revelation, God the Father always intended to give all of us into the hands of Christ, that He might deliver us from sin and death and grant us new life. That's the plan. But as you and I reflect on the life of Adam and Eve, we know that they were made to walk with God and talk with God in paradise, and how much we desire to have that too. But that in truth, that is why God created all of us, to walk with Him, to have life with Him. But the only way that that's possible now, because of sin, is to enter into the heavenly realms where the fullness of God can be seen in all His glory. But from the viewpoint of the disciples, they were waiting for Jesus to become an earthly king. So think about that. And do you see how much the words of Jesus in our gospel reading shocked His disciples? Because He tells them, I do not expect a regal golden crown. No, instead, I will be arrested and ridiculed and put to death. Imagine what the disciples were thinking. Imagine all the expectations that Jesus would never die, but rather quickly set up His throne and establish His kingdom on earth in the first century. That's what the disciples wanted. And then here, as we see on the cover of our bulletins, imagine witnessing the day that Jesus is crucified. There are no words to capture the heart-fallen brokenness that attacked every thought of the disciples on Good Friday. That's why they ran. That's why they huddled together behind locked doors, fearing for their lives. And this is why they were severely perplexed when Jesus began to teach them about the goal of His life on earth, the Father's plan. But the disciples weren't the only ones. I reflect on what I have seen in my own life. I reflect on how well our own communities of the United States of America reacted when they received word and saw trailers for The Passion of the Christ when Mel Gibson made his movie 14 years ago. Because what did the headline read? The critical headlines read, "Bloody Gore Fest." And quite a few non-Christians wondered, why would anyone watch this, such a thing? And here we have it on the cover of our bulletins. It's sad, really, to reflect, to understand how such a powerful and meaningful act of God, like the crucifixion of Jesus, would go by the wayside, rejected, scorned, scoffed at. If only I could sit down with the celebrities of Hollywood, the music stars and the CEOs of New York, to explain to them what was prophesied by the prophets of old. That just like we heard today through the prophet Jeremiah, he told us Jesus was willing to carry out the plan of salvation. Jesus would be like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter, and there is purpose in this. There is meaning for you and me. Yes, Jeremiah is right. The Pharisees would devise a scheme against Him, and they would seek to destroy Him. And in His certain death, Jesus would be laid in a tomb. But this was not the end of God's plan. Because what did Jesus say would happen 3 days later? A powerful sign unto the Jews and to us today. That even though the plan of evil men would be to destroy Jesus, can the Son of God lay down his life also with the authority to take it up again? You better believe it. Jesus willingly suffered what you see here in this picture. In fact, we should add and understand that Jesus endured the shame of the cross for hours for you. Because he loves you. And I ask you this. Can death lay claim on Jesus, God's Son? Would the devil ever have power over God? Would all our sins be too much for Jesus to atone for? I tell you, no, no, no. Jesus humbled himself before the Father in order to cleanse the hands of sinners and to purify our hearts. As you and I sing on Sundays, cleanse our hearts, O Lord. Renew with me a right spirit. You see, this was God's plan all along, the plan of salvation for you and me and all of our children. That when Jesus gathers us into his holy Christian church, that when we bow before the cross, God has taught us that we may learn and understand, that we may recognize the wretchedness of our sins and the need for weeping over our selfish ways. Because this world, our world, if they do not know Christ, they will be lost in gloom and darkness. We needed Jesus to carry his cross to Golgotha. We needed our Savior to shed his blood on our behalf that our sins might be atoned for. We needed the Son of God to be crucified that he might bring justification to us all. And so we pray. We thank you, dearest Jesus, for laying down your life for us. You truly are a servant of all, and you have shown us your divine love and perfect grace and mercy for every one of us. Today we rejoice in the Holy Gospel, that by your death we are saved from death, and by your resurrection we have life everlasting, that to you alone would be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior and King. Amen.